The AM and W248 DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez says he will not resign as he faces federal bribery charges. CBS's Nicole Killian has details.
He said that all people are presumed innocent until proven guilty. He also defended his work on Egypt, saying that he has been steadfast on issues related to civil society and human rights. Perhaps most notable, because for those who have seen the indictment with respect to a lot of the cash that was discovered by investigators, saying that, you know, he has withdrawn thousands of dollars in cash, that he's just old-fashioned.
Prosecutors found nearly $500,000 in cash hidden all over his home last week. Menendez claims he legitimately earned that. President Biden is praising a tentative deal to end the writer's strike in Hollywood. Here's CBS's Cammie McCormick.
In a statement, President Biden said he welcomed the tentative agreement and recognizes it did not come easily. It's a deal that could end one of two strikes that have halted most film and television production. And he called the negotiations a testament to the power of collective bargaining.
Tomorrow, the focus shifts to a different strike. WWJ-TV reporter Alyssa Bergio is in Detroit.
President Joe Biden expected to meet with auto workers on the picket lines in Metro Detroit Tuesday afternoon. Following that visit, former president and GOP frontrunner Donald Trump also planning to make an appearance to show his support in Clinton Township on Wednesday.
In Washington, federal agencies are keeping close tabs on Congress with a government shutdown looming. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says it would be devastating to millions of families who rely on federal resources.
Nearly 7 million pregnant moms, new mothers and young children count on WIC every single day. To receive support, nutrition assistance support. With a shutdown, what we would see across the United States is a denial of those benefits and opportunities.
Federal workers would also face furloughs if Congress can't come up with a spending deal this week. We're also just days away from student loan payments starting up again. CBS's Jason Brooks.
Investment firm Jefferies surveyed consumers with student debt and found that 9 out of 10 are worried about expenses when they resume loan payments next month. The survey found that 54% of respondents plan to spend less on apparel and accessories and 46% less on footwear. Jefferies is concerned about the impact on Nike, Foot Locker, and Urban Outfitters, cutting the stock ratings for all three retailers.
British police have opened a sex crimes investigation on Russell Brand. They're looking into more allegations of sexual offenses against the comedian over recent articles from at least and claims from at least four women.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Dive into crime dramas on Pluto TV. Unravel the mysteries on CSI, Criminal Minds, and Blue Bloods. Plus, watch thousands of other crime movies and TV shows, all for free. Download Pluto TV on all your favorite devices and start streaming now.
Exergen thermometers are a top choice of medical professionals at highly ranked hospitals across the U.S. Accuracy matters, so make Exergen the chosen thermometer for your home and family. Available at Walmart and other participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Hey, man, looking good.
It's Stitch Fix. I'd like to thank my stylist for making me look so great. They always get my fit just right. They send clothes that work for me and my budget. They even found me my favorite pair of jeans. I'd like to thank Stitch Fix because, let's get real, I couldn't make this style happen on my own. They just make everything so easy. So thank you, Stitch Fix. They just get me, and they'll get you too. Stitch Fix. Take your style quiz today at stitchfix.com.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to get high-speed internet now. 877-227-0924.
Saddle up, buckaroos. It's time to start the cattle drive with Trail Tunes, the new cowboy, western, and south of the border show on Wiscountry 105.5 WIRI. Every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m., join me, Gene, Roy, Tex, and Rex with songs of lonesome cowboys, wicked rustlers, and sighing senoritas. From the sons of the pioneers to riders in the sky, Trail Tunes will have you wishing for those wide open spaces. Every Thursday from 7 to 8, only on Wiscountry 105.5.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies expected tonight with scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows around 56. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 67. Cloudy skies. Overcast tomorrow night. Chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 57. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 64.
Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Brought to you proudly by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Rapids. You have your host, James J. I am joined by my partner in sound, Seth Hapager.
Hello, everyone.
We hope you guys are having a good one out there. Get ready to call up, 424-2600. Let us know how you're feeling. How about your sports weekend? We are in Wisconsin, so of course, they got to be feeling good.
Yeah, no kidding.
Be feeling pretty good, I would think, coming out of this weekend. Brewers, Badgers, Packers.
Yeah. I just got done with the Assumption game.
Yes. It just wrapped
10 minutes ago. Yeah.
We got really lucky with that. I didn't know if I was going to do the show by myself or not, because Seth might have been still doing the Assumption game. Yeah. That's hilarious.
That was crazy.
I do want to talk to you about that, because we got to cover a little high school sports as well today. Seth and I in our pregame were talking about there's so much, and we only get 1 hour a week. We there's a lot to cram in there. I do, as long as we are talking here, I did want to mention really quickly, join us on Fridays in the 9 o'clock hour on our morning show here at WFHR. Our sports czar around here, our sports director, Mike Clemens, joins us.
Yeah.
I have a great conversation with Mike. Mike is one of those guys, he's one of those old school guys. He just talks real.
He does.
There's no airs. It's not like when you, like, it's funny, in especially in football coverage, where if you're talking to a coach or a player, it's very black and white. We could right now, ChatGPT could come up with something that would be exactly what Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or any of these quarterbacks would say. It's the way it is. Where sports color people and the guys that cover the game, oh, they're colorful. Oh, they got something to say, and I love it. I love it. For Habarkish and all the guys I grew up on, and the guys we have here, it's just awesome. So be sure to join us for that.
And Mike's been doing it for so long now; he's got access, man.
Yeah,
I mean, he gets up close and personal with these guys. So
I was familiar with Mike's work. I did not know he had that kind of access. It's been really fun to be able to talk with him. And we want to talk with you. 424-2600. The phone lines are wide open just for you to call up and join the conversation. We will talk all those local teams coming up, but I did want to start off with actually the Brewer talk.
Brewer talk, okay.
You know, talk about them while we can, because the season will wrap up. Even if the Brewers end up in the World Series, season is closer to over than the beginning. Yep. Whereas football, we've got months to talk about that.
Right.
But we'll talk about whatever you want to, 424-2600. Before we get into Brewer talk, Seth and I were talking a little bit of football. And you have an interesting, like, way of you're walking into this season, Seth.
Yeah, so James invited me to join his fantasy football league. And I was, I haven't done that in many, many, many years. In fact, I haven't followed football for many, many, many years. Yeah. Like, anything resembling close. You know, I knew what was going on, and I would look at the playoffs. Oh, who's doing what? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I haven't followed it closely, like, for 20 years. It's been really long. And
kids and a wife will do that.
Moving around and stuff. You know, it happens.
You've been busy. Yeah.
But, man, the game has changed a lot. It has really changed a lot. My goodness.
I hadn't thought about this at all. When we were talking about you joining the league, I was focused all on, a catch is this much and a touchdown is worth this much. Mm-hmm. You know, explaining those things. I didn't think about how the game is so vastly different. Immediately I thought of the whole trope that you've seen in movies and TV shows. Guy falls down in a ditch.
Rip Van Winkle, right? Yeah.
He wakes up 20 years later. And I just can't imagine waking up 20 years later and you're like, oh, God, I can't wait to watch some football again. You're like, what is going on? Where's the running game?
Yes.
Why aren't they slaughtering the quarterback?
Man, it's been a trip.
Who are the Commanders?
Man. Yeah. Wait. What? Who are these teams? I don't even know who they are anymore.
Whoa. Tampa Bay won a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Again, like twice?
What?
No. That's crazy. No. You know, I'm going back in the ditch. Back in the ditch. This is too much for me.
It's been really fascinating because, you know, I mean, even the look is so different, you know? Yeah. I'm still remember. I mean, yeah, by the 90s, the pads were getting a little smaller again.
Yeah.
But I remember the 80s, the guy said the huge pads and everything. Oh, man.
And it's interesting you say how they cover the game, too, because back when we're watching, it's almost like video games where you went from scrolling screen, 2D vision, to all of a sudden, now you are the character.
Yeah, right.
And here's graphics that are almost better than some movies you'll see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's football, where we're kids, 80s, 90s, even late mid-90s, we're watching it. And it's two camera angles, basically.
Do you remember how big the big deal was when they get the yellow line for the first down?
Yes.
When they first started doing that, they're like, wow, we got this new thing this year. We get to see where the first down marker is.
That created two magnificent things. One that they had to see, one I don't think they did. One, obviously letting the people at home know, hey, this is how far your guys got to go. You don't have to eyeball it anymore. Mm-hmm. But two, the debate about is the line correct? That ain't right.
Nah. No, it's not right. What are you doing?
Look, because every group of guys, if you don't have multiple guys like this, you got one guy in your group like this who has to be the one that knows more than the ref. Knows more than... No. See, look where the line guy... Look, you got to look. Come on. Jimmy, come here. Look. No, man, I can see it. It's 4K. I can see it.
Oh, man.
He's also the guy that as soon as the kicker kicks it, it's good. Oh, no, that's wide. Yeah, he's got to tell you. He's got to tell you before the announcer even tells you. He's got to tell you. 424-2600. Who is that guy in your group?
Do you have one of those guys?
Do you have one of those guys? Like, or are you that guy? Because you need it. You have to have that guy.
You know, one of the big things for me is, they still, you know, the running game is not as big as it was back in the day. But one of the things that I have found fascinating is how much more running backs are used as receivers.
Back then,
that was an oddity, you know? If either you were like a third down back, you know, that was in there specifically, like Ronnie Harmon was like one of the best who ever did that. Or you were like Roger Craig, you know, kind of a freak who would get, you know, or Thurman Thomas, one of those guys that, you know, had like for their career, like 16,000 yards from scrimmage or something like that.
It was so rare.
It was to have the combination. But now, I mean, they're almost more catching back or like receiving backs than just like guys from the line of scrimmage backs.
Now, if you can't catch the ball out of college, that knocks your draft stock down almost to the point of you're undrafted. You're almost undraftable, no matter how good your 40 time is.
Yeah.
If you can't catch, if you're almost not a three down back now, that lowers it.
Yeah.
You see these kids that come out, like the kid that just ran in a Kune for Miami, ran for over 200 yards and four touchdowns and everything. He was a low draft pick. He wasn't looked at as a three down back, and that's why they were able to get him lower in the draft and everything. You know, it's all about, can I use him and can I train him and can I learn and get him to learn how to catch all these things?
Yeah. Well, I know him now.
Yeah,
because
right.
Your dad has him on his team, and I'm playing him this week. Wow, that was a slaughter.
Yeah. So let's talk a little Brewers. And let's start with where, especially we are a news station, I think it's a fair place to start. Earlier last week, legislative Republicans introduced their proposal to keep the Brewers in Wisconsin through the year of 2050. The deal would include $600 million in the state and local tax dollars for the stadium maintenance, and the team would be required to pay $100 million. This all looks like things are going to move along and the Brewers are not going anywhere anytime soon, if ever.
Yeah.
I don't know about other people, but if you talk to older people about this subject, I don't think I thought you got a different perspective than you did if you talked to anybody in our age range, Seth. Where the generation before us and like our dads and stuff saw Milwaukee lose a team.
Exactly.
And there was a very different take and a very different attitude from them, almost where I would have thought, oh, do whatever you got to do to keep this team kind of attitude. It was more like, I've been burned. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to get burned again kind of attitude. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really interesting. And I'd love to hear from some people from that age range about how they felt about this, because I feel like now, I don't know, nothing is ever written in stone anymore. Mm-hmm. Nothing. I mean, literally nothing is written in stone anymore.
No. So right.
Nothing's canon. But I do think that you've got to feel a lot better if you're a Brewer fan about the future of the Brewers in this state. Mm-hmm. And this was all posturing. This was all, negotiating 101. Hey, look what happened to Oakland. It could happen to you. Give us more. We want a new stadium, blah, blah, blah. But the fans are the ones that are caught up in the middle of that.
Exactly.
And I want to talk to the fans. I want to hear from them. I don't care what politicians have to say.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know what you guys have to say out there about this subject. And especially if we can hear from older and younger people about it, how they were coming into it. Because I thought that it was very interesting to see all that going, and especially now that the dust has settled and we know that, hey, they ain't going anywhere.
Yeah. And it's you know, I really think that's a great question for anyone who's had a team pulled out from under them. That's a traumatic experience if you think about it. Even, you know, you think about like a recent, more recent move that looked like it was preordained. Okay, the Montreal Expos moving to Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. I know. I mean,
should have been the Grays. Should have been the Washington Grays. Well, missed that would have been better. That would have been so better.
That would have been better. You're right.
Sorry to cut it out.
No, it's okay. But even though the attendance was terrible in those last few years in Montreal, it still seems like there's a pain there.
Yes.
They still talk about, we want a new team.
I got friends from out that way. Yeah. Or not friends, but I know people from out that way that will still, if baseball comes up, give it a beat or two. Expos would have won the World Series.
Well, it 1994, yeah.
Expos would have won the World Series in 1994. Mm-hmm. It always comes up. They will not let it. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them.
They never would have moved then.
No.
If they would have won a World Series, they probably never would have moved.
In the NHL, it happens every once in a while where a guy wins Coach of the Year and then gets fired, you know, and stuff. And it always seems like what the what kind of thing.
Right.
That could not happen. You're so right about that. You can't move a team that just won the World Series. You can't do that.
Right.
Like, I don't think, at least.
Yeah.
I
mean, it would have taken a lot longer, I think, in the end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They'd have waited out.
But think about it. If your team wins the World Series for just the next couple of years, what does that do to your franchise and for Marlins. Your fan base?
Yeah, look at Marlins. The Marlins have lived on that. You can make the argument they don't even have a franchise if you take those World Series away in those years that the fan base was blown up from that.
I totally think you're right. Yeah, I think that's a great point.
They're playing in Albuquerque or something, you know? They're isotopes.
Why is it always Albuquerque?
Because of the Simpsons. It's always because of the Simpsons. All your answers. It's like Don Allmeyer's thing about money with me. It always comes back to the Simpsons.
Or Nashville. That's the other one they always end. Yeah, they move to Nashville. Yeah,
it does seem. I will agree with the Nashville thing, because it does seem like Nashville or Memphis is the perfect areas that never really had a sports team, but feels like, oh, that'd be a perfect place for the imaginary sports team when they can't afford the NFL or the MLB licenses.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And they gotta make up the fake teams. Like, it does seem like it's a good spot for it.
Yeah, that's right.
So Brewers first baseman Rowdy Tellez, and quick side note, one of the best names in baseball.
It's
one of the best
baseball
looking,
name.
Such a he looks like that name. Like, if you've never seen Rowdy Tellez, you could draw him, and that's what he looks like.
Oh, yeah, totally looks like that, yeah.
He's easily my, and it's hard for me to say this with my brother and my nephew being gigantic Christian Yelich fans, but Rowdy's easily my favorite Brewer. My favorite Brewer. And I'm so happy for him. He's had a rough season, a lot of injuries,
yeah.
Hasn't been able to do as much as I'm sure that him and the team would have liked him to be able
to do.
It's really helped having a Carlos Santana there, really, all the more reason why it's been smart to get that, make that move at the trade deadline. Tellez didn't take a swing in the team's 16-1 win Friday night over the Marlins, but still had a sore arm afterwards. With the game out of hand, manager Council turned to Tellez to finish off the victory, which clinched a postseason trip for the fifth time in 6 years.
Wow.
Now, I don't know how, I'm sure diehard Brewer fans understand that, the 5 out of 6 going to the playoffs. That is no small feat. You can tell me all you want about the added playoff teams and all of this, and I will counter that with the Milwaukee market. and, mm-hmm. and what they are able to do free agency wise and trade wise.
Yep.
I will match that with their scouting base does and so many other things that that small market team is able to pull off.
Mm-hmm.
5 out of 6 years, that is no small feat. Forget about wins and losses. Let's talk about what that does for your payroll. Let's talk about what that does for the guy selling T-shirts outside of the Brewers, outside of the stadium, and everything. That's what I'm thinking of here. Mm-hmm. And you've had that this year, so I mean, all credit to that staff and that organization for that, for one thing. But how many teams clinch the playoffs with their first baseman throwing out in a close out,
pitching the last game. Yeah. Game.
What a weird situation. God, I love baseball. I love sports. You can't write that. If you saw that in a Hollywood movie, you would laugh at it and say, how unrealistic.
No. It's so fabulous. And I have to say, as someone who's viewed the Brewers from afar for a while, you know, I've lived in Wisconsin a couple of times. I remember growing up. And for going to college the first time and being with a lot of Wisconsin people, every single one to a person, Packer fan. I had trouble finding a Brewer fan.
Mm.
They would all like other teams. They liked baseball, but they liked other baseball teams. And that has changed so much.
Yeah.
The Brewers have become, they're not the Packers, I get it, but they have become so much more important to the sporting life of Wisconsin than they ever were before. And I think their success, like we just talked about, their 6 and 7 years, I mean, that's got to have something to do with it.
Agreed. I wonder how much that shift in fans, like the diehard fan going from the fan that's paying attention to the diehard fan, how much that has to do with a little bit going back CC to the beginning of this conversation with the fan base that's older and that was burned.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not as easy to get as, you know, for the Milwaukee Braves, that was your team. You were born, right. And they were your team.
Yep.
They move the Brewers. That's an expansion team. It's your home. Yeah, they see they have Milwaukee on their label and everything. But you don't have the same feeling that you did for the Braves. There's a good amount of people out there, and I don't know what the percentage is, especially with age being what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That is still diehard following the Braves because they were the Milwaukee Braves.
Mm-hmm.
That are born and raised and have never spent one minute in Georgia, but they are diehard Brave fans because of that. I know at least one person like that, so I know there's at least one out there.
There's got to be more.
So I'm curious how much that plays into it. That you know what you took in, what you saw there. I come from such a baseball family that the Brewers have always been a part of our lives. I would say that even growing up where I did, and with rivalries being so important in baseball, the Brewers, White Sox, Cubs, Twins, the Tigers in there, the teams of my youth. I knew what was going on with every one of those teams growing up. Maybe even the Royals a little bit for some reason. maybe where we are in the Midwest.
I think that has something to do with it, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. and one thing we can all agree on, none of us like the Cardinals.
Yes.
None of us. None. We can always find unity in that.
Yes, unity and no one liking the Cardinals.
And we all agree that we could all give whenever we can. And I just wanted to throw this in there before we go to commercial break. We didn't get a chance to touch on it on the morning show. We have a community blood drive taking place right here in Wisconsin Rapids. It's going on right now until 7 o'clock at the former Eastern High School Music Room at 311 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids. You can head on over there right now and deliver, get your blood taken. If you are feeling good about it, you walk out of there, you're a superhero.
That's right.
And I'll tell you
MVP this. MVP sports show. You're an MVP.
You do this and you get a shirt today.
Oh,
You do this, you'll get a shirt from us for nothing.
Nice.
Just for being a superhero, just for being a great human being. We appreciate everybody being able to do this. We know that there is a shortage out there right now. There are people out there in need. If you are able to do this, we greatly appreciate all of you doing so. So go ahead and get down there, do so. Take a selfie of you doing this and you get a shirt.
Yeah.
Get a shirt. And we're going to give away another shirt between now and the end of the show. Be listening for that. We'll go over our schedule here as well. Plenty more. We haven't even touched on really football yet. We've talked about football, the game.
We've talked around it, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about football yet. We haven't talked college. There's plenty to get to right here on Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids.
All right, Quality Plus Printing team, let's make this a wicked awesome play. Tracy, you go right. Alan, you go left. McKenna, you go deep. Maria, Kathy, Carrie, Sue, Anna, Dan, give me time to throw. printing and design on one. Get your words out. Get your words out. With Quality Plus Printing, set, hut. Printing, graphics, and design. The team at Quality Plus Printing scores a touchdown every time.
A proud supporter of high school athletics.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Here's your forecast from Locally Grown Radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies expected tonight with scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows around 56. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 67. Cloudy skies. Overcast tomorrow night. Chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 57. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 64.
Welcome back to Playmakers here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. And you, 424-2600, call up and join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. Call up and hang out with us a little bit. We're here until 4, taking your sports calls. Whatever's on your mind sports-wise, we want to hear from you. Otherwise, Seth and I are going to keep talking a little bit of more Brewer talk and more baseball talk as we are getting ready for the playoffs.
Last week of the season right now. We're going into the playoffs next week, so yeah.
I want to start with Brewers. I want to start microscopic on Brewers and expand on the season as we go.
Okay.
Unless you guys want to change the conversation, which is your call. You direct the show, everybody. You are our producers. 424-2600. Brewers clinched playoffs. Minnesota clinched playoffs.
Yep, they did.
White Sox suck. Sorry, just had to get that in there.
It was. I looked at each league, the actual standings of where they were. I didn't realize the Sox had the third worst record in the American League. I was like, oh, wow. Yeah. That is a rough season.
Nobody told Jerry Reinsdorf that nobody tanks in baseball. All right? It's other sports you tank.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense in baseball, Jerry. I will say this. If there's one consistent thing for the Chicago fan, it is that all we have to do is point to our ownership. Like, that's it.
True.
I don't care who you root for. Just point to the owners, and that is your problem. Mm-hmm. You can keep changing the GM, the head coach, the scouts, the players. You can do this all you want and keep this madness going. While I am always going to be a diehard fan, because I am not one of these weak people that has to join a jump.
No
to
bandwagon.
None of that. That ain't me. I will say I am numb. I am completely numb to all of this.
You have
now
to build up a tolerance for it. Yes, you really do.
Let's take a call. Good afternoon. You're on the show.
Hey, this is Greg from Waukesha. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great. Doing good. Thanks for joining us, Greg.
Good. I'm listening on the Civic Media app.
Awesome.
And I just wanted to say I'm a Brewers fan, and you guys were asking the question if Brewers fans were shaken up by, the possible, pending, move or whatever. I think, I'm 45, not to give away my age, but I guess I just did. So anyway, I'm 45.
No worries. We're all 40s.
Yeah, we're all in our mid-40s.
I've lived long enough. I've heard this talk before from the Brewers, from the Bucks, not necessarily from the Packers. I'm not sure if the Packers ever, threatened moving out of state. But I've heard this talk before. I kind of think it's like the boy who cried wolf, every time I hear this. Now, there is a chance that it could happen, but I don't worry about it too much. The thing, my vent is that we are a small market team. My vent has always been because we're considered a small market team, we're kind of stereotyped as such, so we can't get better talent because we're stereotyped. Milwaukee's a smaller market, no one wants to come to Milwaukee, but I guess that theory too gets blown out of the water. I mean, we did get Giannis, for the Bucks, but so that's that.
Well, you drafted Giannis.
My frustration is being called small market,
I can understand that. I can get that. I think that is Milwaukee's superpower, though, because if you're in the state, if you're in the Midwest, you understand better. And I think that if, I mean, going back to Reggie White signing in Green Bay, we have seen that Wisconsin teams can pull in free agents.
Christian Yelich.
Overall, Yelich was a trade, I believe.
Yeah, but they re-signed him.
They re-signed him. And the same thing with, you know, they drafted Giannis, but he did re-sign.
Yeah, that's true.
These things. I could see that frustration, especially if you're in state and the idea to the ESPNs, to the Foxes, that, oh, why would Giannis want to stay in Milwaukee or you can't get a free agent here? That's been something since we were kids and all of us being a similar age.
Right.
We all can remember seeing that and hearing about that. And then what happens? Reggie White signs in Green Bay, and everything changes from there.
That was huge. Yeah,
it's an interesting thing to talk about, though. Still, in 2023, how this, especially with these players nowadays, where travel is so easy, it's so easy, and the money that they're making, they can live in the state they play in and live in another state in the off season.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big deal for them to do. Even smaller ranked players, even players that aren't making, you know, the Patrick Mahomes type money and everything.
Yeah, right.
Well, and it is encouraging that Giannis stayed here and that Christian Yelich has stayed here. Those are both good examples. You know, proving that, you know, to some players, it isn't about the money. You know?
Now
that's another story.
Every Aaron Rodgers, there's so many guys that do pretend to stay in this state. Even Kareem wanted to stay here as long as he could. Kareem saw that management couldn't pay him what he felt he deserved.
Right.
Otherwise, that might have gone differently. It might have. I don't know if it would or wouldn't. Kareem was a big personality and everything. But you hear him talk about Milwaukee, and it's nothing but love and how much he loved this state and how much he loved playing there and everything. There were some rough times, but not like there's a difference of that. And then you hear Bill Russell talking about playing in Boston. That's a gigantic difference. They're very two world differences right there. And to which, as a side note, Boston also sees themselves as a small market.
Shockingly enough,
to New York, they look at the Celtics, they look at the Bruins, they look at the Red Sox as a small market team. Now that's Boston people. We outside of Boston may not look at it that way, and I certainly don't.
No, I don't.
But that's another one of those complexes that they have. They have such a complex to New York,
of course,
that no other state could have or other city could because they're taking up all the room,
all the air.
Appreciate the call, sir. Thanks.
We lost him. Oh, that's all right.
Appreciate the call.
That was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep those calls coming, everybody. 424-2600.
You can call right from the app.
Yes.
That's what he did.
Yeah. Call right from the app. You go to civicmedia.us. You can stream us 24/7 or get that app on your phone. It is. I will say this. They've done a great job with that app where it does not take up much.
It doesn't.
I am one of these weirdos where I look at how much space my apps take
up
and everything.
Man, yeah.
Okay, because I got a ton of room on my phone. It doesn't take up much space either. It works so dang good, and it doesn't take up that much space. I sound like a commercial, and I don't care. It feels so good to love the company you work for. Like it feels good, man. It's a nice feeling. I'm not gonna apologize for liking the people I work with.
Right.
With the Brewers, Twins, all these teams making it. I want to hear from you, 715-424-2600. What do you give? Do you give a puncher's chance to any of these teams? When you look at Atlanta and Houston, when you look at the machine that those two teams are, it is baseball. Anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you give these teams a puncher's chance? I'm curious to know.
Well, my take on it, first of all, Houston's got to get in.
And
Houston just got swept by the Royals. They are not playing good baseball right now.
That can't feel good. That can't.
Texas right now is taking charge of the West.
There's no point in human history where I don't care if George Brett's playing for them. There's no good feeling getting swept by the Royals.
At home. Oh, man. But anyway, so the West is still very much up for grabs, although Texas is starting to pull away a little bit. Seattle's stumbling right now, too, so it's going to be hard to see. It's going to come down to – it's going to be a barn burner in the West. One of those teams probably will not make it into the playoffs because of the way the wild card picture is right now. It looks like – for sure Tampa, unless they win the East, of course.
Yeah.
And it looks like Toronto is starting to solidify their spot in the second one, so that'll be interesting.
Hey,
moving forward.
I have a quick note. Great stuff right there, brother. Mm-hmm. I have a quick note to the Rangers. Make up your mind. Just make
what do you
up
want
your
to
mind.
Do, guys?
Are you going to go into the playoffs or not? Are you going to give it all or not? I mean, I know that the ownership and that the management is going all in, but the players, they seem like I don't. We know Houston wants it; they just haven't been playing well.
No,
I will say the same thing about Miami. I have. There's been two teams. As soon as I saw the writing on the wall with my team, it's like, okay, I'm focusing on the Brewers for my family.
Yeah,
the Brewers and Cubs, because I got family members that love both those teams.
And they're right there too right now for the wild card. Yeah.
I keep attention to the Twins because I got you and another friend that follows the Twins. And my teams, as far as I'm just secretly kind of following on the side, was Baltimore and Seattle. I was enjoying that too. So I feel bad that Seattle isn't doing what they're doing. You know, that has happened over there. And, you know, the Baltimore thing has just been cool. I think it's just a cool story.
It's been awesome to get them back. Baseball is better when Baltimore is good, in my opinion, because they've got such a great history of winning stuff in Baltimore for the Orioles.
But I'm sorry, but I've liked Seattle a bit, but it's only been recently after the All-Star break. All season long, I've been enjoying Miami. It's an interesting team.
It is.
I can't say that they're the most fun baseball to watch all the time, but if you get them right and when they're hot and when things are going well, it's been a fun team to watch.
They got some great personalities. They got Luis Arraez. They've got Jazz Chisholm. They've got, you know, some of these guys. They're fun. They look like they're just... You just love playing baseball so much.
I really would love to see them healthy with Sandy and all them and Eloy. You know, so to me, the hope is, and this means nothing in sports. Tomorrow means nothing in sports,
no.
Let alone next year.
Yeah.
Let me tell you that again, as a Chicago fan, I know that better than most out there. Next year. Yeah, that's the
we'll get them next year.
To buy tickets. That's all that is. Next year, if this team could be healthy and has the similar nucleus that they do now with that manager that they got, which I really like, also Miami's going to be a team, and that's a division that is loaded.
Atlanta, Philly. Give me a break.
They're not the only team that's going to look good next year.
Yep.
But it would be kind of cool to see. I think it's one of those teams that I like seeing teams like that.
Me too.
Step up.
Young. I love those young, exciting teams. Mm-hmm. And sadly for the Brewers, I guess. I mean, Cincinnati looks like they're going to be one of those teams next year for sure. They're going to really be jumping on it. I hate to say this because I never want to give my team, anything being other than the underdog. But the Twins have one heck of a 1-2 punch for starting pitchers. Sonny Gray and Pablo Lopez, who've both had tremendous seasons.
Sneaky good season.
I mean, the Twins lead the league in strikeouts from their pitchers. I mean,
raise your hand. I think
the last time that happened, I mean, so they've got a chance if they can hit at all. And they're without Rice Lewis right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to be doing much hitting. There's no Byron Buxton. I mean, it's Correa's out right now, too. So it's like, but if they can get any hitting at all, I think they've got a decent chance. They got Joe Ryan going third, and that's not he's not a slouch for your third starter. So
you're making the same argument I make for the Brewers,
exactly.
Essentially.
Yep.
So when it comes to that, again, puncher's chance. Who do you got? What do you like? Do you think they got good odds going into this? Or what are your odds for it going into it? They're better than the Padres. I'll tell you that.
Poor Padres.
Just a quick couple notes here before we go to commercial break. ESPN, thank you for giving me some headlines every once in a while. Padres push back amid reports of organizational dysfunction. if you have half an eye to baseball at all this year, you have heard that the Mets and the Padres, insane payrolls, not going in the playoffs.
Nope.
Dumpster fire at the trade
losing
deadline
seasons,
and all that.
Yeah.
If there is not dysfunction in the Padres organization, I question your love of the game. Like, I'm not saying you got to be a bad teammate, like arguing with your teammates and all that, and you're fighting, but it shouldn't be like rainbows and unicorns in there. Like,
no.
Am I wrong about this? Again, 424-2600, 715, 424-2600. Correct me if I'm wrong about this, but if I was a Padres fan, that would anger me almost.
Like, yeah.
I want some dysfunction. I want some anger about this. Give me a reason why this happened.
Yep.
You know, and give me some fight in you here.
Especially if you look at their season, it's the weirdest season I think I have ever seen. They've got personal performances by several players that are above, Tatis is having a great year.
Snell.
Soto's having a great year. Blake Snell may be the Cy Young in the National League. What's going on?
It's so
I
weird.
Don't get it.
It's so weird.
Their run differential, they're very much positive on run, and they're under 500. It's so weird. You can't quantify why they have not won this year. It's so strange.
I keep coming back to this too. You get this now being back into the fantasy world.
Yeah, right.
We study, we look into stuff, and we pine over who, this guy or that guy, and then we make the move.
Mm-hmm.
And it blows up in our face. Yeah, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. we're fantasy football
That's
managers.
Fine, yeah.
We're fantasy sports managers.
What happens?
I mean, it's not like we're paid to do this. The people that are paid to do this are playing it like it's fantasy sports.
Mm-hmm.
The Padres, the Mets, yep. all this. And they're playing about as good as I am right now. they're horrible. Like, how do they get these jobs? And at the same time, like, what can you do? Because let's just give them the benefit of the doubt that they are smart individuals, that they do know what they're doing. They care about this, and they've studied this. And, well, making this Machado trade is going to be smart because it's going to lead to this, this, and this.
Right.
Oh, this Tatis kid, we're going to move him here because we're going to bring in another great shortstop. And we're just going to have especially in baseball nowadays, where not everybody plays 162, let's get position players.
Yeah.
Seems like not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
On paper especially, like, oh, I can move him here, I can move him here when he has a day off or there's an injury.
Mm-hmm.
I can put him at short, I can put him at second. It seems like a really smart idea. Grab all the shortstops.
Exactly.
Especially because anybody who played high school baseball knows most of the time the guy that played shortstop was your best player.
Yep.
He could play any position.
Exactly.
So sure. On paper, that makes a lot of sense. Explosion. No, that can't work. No.
But even with that, and you're not wrong, I mean, Fernando Tatis Jr. could win a gold glove in right field this year.
Yeah.
I mean, so that part worked. You've got Kim, who has just exploded. No one was expecting a whole lot from him, and all of a sudden he's had a great year,
I forgot about that.
Xander Bogaerts has had kind of a down year this year, but Soto started hitting again. I can't comprehend why they're not winning. I really have no idea.
If there's not dysfunction over that, I question, you know, who's cares? If
real
you
quick,
care.
Real quick about the Mets. They did a very smart thing, and they hired David Stern.
Yeah.
And people around here know him very well. Of course, he ran the Brewers for many years. That was a smart move by Cohen to get him up in there. I think things are going to turn around a little bit for the Mets, and I think they're going to have a little bit different philosophy moving forward, too.
We're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little football and talk about the greatest catch I think I've ever seen. That's coming up.
That's saying something.
Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's different.
You can choose your mood. You can choose to, well, you know what? I didn't get much sleep last night, but I'm still going to have a good day, or still going to give it all I can, or be in a good spirit when I do the morning show today.
That's what I do every day with you, too.
I was going to say, what, you mean my normal mood of what, mild contempt for everyone around me? Okay, yeah, that's usually what I'm doing, yeah.
Sarcasm extraordinaire.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 a.m. right here on Locally Grown Radio.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies expected tonight with scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows around 56. easterly winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 67. Cloudy skies. Overcast. Tomorrow night, chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 57. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 64.
Welcome back to Playmakers. Brought to you proudly by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. We say good afternoon to Phil and the gang over there.
Yes, indeed.
Be sure to join us Wednesdays in the 9 o'clock hour, right before the, I'd say right after Melissa's news, 8:40-ish around there. Phil joins us with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
A Wicked Awesome. Looking forward to that. Want to get into football, and what we like to do around here is go into high school and then college and then pros.
Yeah.
But, of course, you make the call. You call up 424-2600 and let us know what direction you want to go in.
Reminds
you
see me of those old commercials.
You make the call.
You make the call.
You saw what I did there.
Yes,
man.
I did.
You got the reference. All right. I didn't know if anybody get that. Thank you for that.
Oh, man. Those were all the time.
I want to get into just to quickly touch on high school football, because if you are a fan of any of the local teams, you probably don't want us talking too much about it. I know I don't want to talk Lincoln football too much. I did want to send a shout out to everybody so far in this high school season. I know that the wins and losses have wins haven't been where we want them to be.
Right.
But I've heard such good feedback from people about catching these games and the atmosphere at these games, and it's been so fun to have these games. And we can't have them without the announcers and the sponsors and the producers of the games. So big, big shout out to all of our sponsors. Thank you so much.
It's been great this year, yeah.
When I first got back here about 7-8 years ago, we lost a couple of our local teams. We were not able to cover them, and I can tell you, going to these towns and talking to big businesses that were bigger in those towns, and they would not pay us. They would not give us money to be able to put these games on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking a lot of money.
No,
they would not put into this. These businesses, these sponsors we have now, they are putting into it. Mm-hmm. They are the reason we are able to play these games.
Yep.
None of this happens without them. And it may not be the sexiest thing in the world to thank a sponsor, but man, do I appreciate them. As somebody that loves these games, loves being able to have them on the air, and all we needed, we had the bodies, we had the people, we just didn't have the backing.
Yep.
Now we have it. We appreciate every one of you out there, and a big thank you to our sales staff for being able to make this happen as well.
Yes.
Obviously to Randy, to Michael, calling these games and the great job that they do with them. You heard me on the air. You know how I feel about Randy. Randy's my favorite announcer in this state and maybe around.
Mm-hmm.
I love hearing him call a game, and I don't even have to lie about that. I don't. It's him and Kevin Harlan for me. Like, those are my guys. I love them the way they call games, mm-hmm. their style, and the way that they approach the game.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael is doing an amazing job.
Boy, I got to give Michael all the credit in the world for this weekend. Not only did he pull back-to-back games on Friday and Saturday, and for those of you who listened on Saturday, know that it was one heck of a game. Not only did we have an hour-long delay for Lightning, but it also went into triple overtime. Trial by fire, Michael, and he did a tremendous job. So big shout out to him for he gets, it's his third game that he's doing, and he got it all in that one game.
His I feel a little bad for him as a Packer fan. I imagine he wasn't able to yell at the screen or cheer much.
He went to the game on Sunday.
He went to the game on Sunday. I hope his voice held up. I hope he's
too.
All right. I hope he enjoyed. He had to have enjoyed the game.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
He enjoyed the game. Shout out to him. And I do all this in part to embarrass my teammate here, because the audience doesn't know this, but behind the scenes, Seth is not only going to be our main producer of these high school games,
mm-hmm.
but he is full time with us, and very deservingly so. And I just wanted to congratulate you about
that. Thank you.
We are very happy for that. And the ease and the wiping of the forehead by Chuck and I, just right, you could feel it. It was great. And we had you. We have you covering like just what you said about Michael.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit similar with you. You have not covered a whole lot of these games.
No, I haven't. It's only been a couple so far. But
what a great one to have that last one. How was it as far as for you guys behind the scenes covering the game, that Saturday game, the Assumption game?
Well, it's one of those things where you don't know what's going to happen. So basically, WIRI Spotify is nice because it's set up. We've got the music. We can always go back to the music, you know, and that sort of thing. But yeah, there was a couple things, you know, minor things that had to, like with any of this stuff, you never know what's going to happen. So, but in the end, you know, again, it's a learning experience for me, and I'm happy that I was able to get through that now. It's like, oh, so this is what I have to do in order to get through a game that's just like this. Yeah.
We're happy to have you there, and whether they realize it or not, the fan bases are, because they can count on us great sounding games, these games having somebody great having there, and our announcers have you to be able to lean on that. And obviously, you know, longtime listeners know Don Cheersborough, what a great job he did.
Oh,
The reliability that he was, and the just a mountain of reliability that he was.
Yes.
It's nice to have that. We appreciate it. Looking at last week's games. Oh, do you have some? Sorry.
No, I was going to say, you know, it's less gray hairs for Chuck, but Chuck doesn't have any hair left. So, you know. and I'm sure this is probably the reason why. Stuff like this.
In mine, you can really see them. Mine go white. There is no gray for me. It's just straight to white. It's from like whatever brownish black it is to the white. So looking at last week's games, DC Everest 21 over Wisconsin 14, Port Edwards 51, Marion Tigerton 26, Thundercats. Such a great name.
That is
and
a great name.
They spell Thundercats with a Z. I mean, that's
Thundercats.
Just. Stafford beat Nakusa, and let's see, I had one more that I wanted to get to. Yeah, Colby 43, Pittsville 16. So looking at, and then on Saturday, of course, as Seth was telling us, Assumption 32. Pacelli 26 in 3 overtimes.
That was a heck of a game. Yeah,
just insane. I wonder if that is going to lead to any rule changes with these high school games and the amount of overtimes you can have. I know that they did it in college, and I know that safety of the players is usually one of the top things. I'm not trying to be a wet blanket. I love 3 overtime games. Some of my favorite games growing up are those. I'm just, you know, throwing it out there. I don't know if that's going to ever change. We don't know how many 3 overtime games we're going to have,
right?
And especially if they end up changing it going
forward. Yeah, and you know, there was a lot of extenuating circumstances too, because of the wet field, of course, with all the rain. That's something that crossed my mind while the game was going on, and I was thinking of the players. I was like, oh my gosh, these kids must be exhausted. You know, we had a very short halftime period because of the delay. Yeah. So it was only 3 minutes between the second and the third quarter. So these guys had been on the field for how many, you know, an hour or so, however it was. Man, I give them a lot of credit, but I was also kind of a little worried that it's a little too much for them, you know?
Do give them a lot of credit.
Yeah.
I hope they got some good rest and got a big week ahead. We will let you know our schedule a little later this week as far as sports-wise. I can tell you that, of course, we will have Lincoln High School football on the radio this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So looking up, we got Tri-County Penguins against Port Edwards, coming to Port Edwards, take on the Blackhawks at 4 on Friday. Assumption heading to Loyal to take on the Greyhounds on Friday at 7. And Marshfield Tigers coming to Wisconsin Rapids to take on the Red Raiders. That game, our pregame will start at 6:40. The game will kick off at 7 this Friday. Mm-hmm. Randy and Michael on the call. Seth on the board. You know it's going to sound good. Nakusa also taking on Spencer, up in Spencer, for that one. That game also Friday at 7. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. And again, maybe the greatest catch I've ever seen.
Wow.
Coming up.
All right.
Right here on Playmakers.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy tonight with scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows around 56. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms likely. High temperatures reach up to 67. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night. Chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 57. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 66.
Welcome back, everyone. Playmakers here on your radio dial or on your phone streaming or
on the app there.
Be careful the way I say that. It used to be such a radio trope, being on your radio dial or up and down your radio dial. That changed now.
We're streaming, media app. Yeah, stream
Take us everywhere. I wanted to, and I don't know if you've gotten to see this or not, Seth,
but
for those that didn't out there, I encourage you to take a moment today and throw into your search engine Florida wide receiver Ricky Parcell. So, Seth, I'm going to put this up on the big board here for
okay.
you. And those at home, again, if you get a chance, you have to see this play. It happened just in the first quarter of the Florida-Charlotte game.
Okay.
This kid makes a catch.
Oh, my gosh.
That is insane to me.
What?
Now, you can go ahead and bring up nowadays how they've got, the gloves are better and the stick'em and all this. He hangs on to the ball afterwards. He takes a hit from two receivers and hangs on to the ball afterwards.
One-handed.
But I want you to catch something here. So the catch the kid makes is with his right hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the where that ball is thrown, normally you would do this with your mostly with your left hand. I don't want to brag, but I played receiver. That doesn't mean anything. Nobody cares. He usually would make this as a basket catch if you can.
Over the head, over shoulder,
but he sees the defenders coming, so his body just reacts. And he's just, I'm going to give this a shot. And if anything, I'm going to kick it out of the way for the so the defenders can't intercept it.
Right.
So he's making actually a bit of a defensive move here in some ways while also trying to make the play.
Mm-hmm.
He palms the ball. He palms it.
Yeah.
With his he's left-handed. He's doing this with his other
offhand.
Hand.
Yeah.
His offhand. Not only that, but pulls it in, has it, and gets swallowed by two
guys. Two guys. Sandwiched, basically. Yeah.
Now, I think it's the best catch I've ever seen, and that's saying with this one in mind. Now, most people will talk about the Odell Beckham catch that he made on Monday Night Football when he was playing for the New York Giants.
Yep.
This catch is so well known, I just typed into the search bar, Odell catch, and it pops up right away.
The first thing, yeah.
I didn't even have to put in the guy's full name or any of that.
Yeah, right.
And so I'm going to play that play for Seth in theory. I would like to play. Oh, here it is.
Oh, there we go. Yep.
And here it is.
Yep.
and now, to his credit, this catch he makes, not only making the catch, but falling out of bounds and tiptoeing his feet.
Yes, which is, again, remarkable.
Just remarkable.
Considering
just incredible.
Keeping your feet in bounds. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
Are these the greatest catches of all time? The David Tyree catch has to be thrown in there in the Super Bowl.
Because that's a Super Bowl one.
But look at the extension, man. And now, I will say for Odell on this one, He's in the right way. He's in the right way you want to be if you're a receiver.
Yep.
He's falling backwards. The Florida kid is falling forwards.
Yep.
And Odell doesn't have to worry about the defenders.
Yep.
He knows if whatever hits he's going to take, he's not going to take, it's going to be from the ground.
He just has to worry about being out of bounds. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it's the only reason why I give the edge to the Florida kid, to Mr. Purcell there, Ricky. Man, is that a great catch.
The thing that I really liked about it was he gets up. The ball has not left his hand. Okay. He is holding on to this thing like it's his soul or something like that.
Yes,
and he just stands there. Like, he's trying to process what just happened.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. He's like, what? You know, kind of thing. And maybe a little, you know, like, yeah, I just did that.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And I don't blame him. I don't want it one bit.
If I had made that catch the rest of my life, I'm walking around with it on my phone and I'm telling
complete strangers,
hey, did you see this catch this guy made? Look at this. Because, again, helmet on. You can't tell it's me.
Yeah. You know, that was me. That was me.
That's
the punchline, right?
Right. That was just wild. That was a wild catch.
That was good, man.
Whew. Programming note, your Wisconsin Badgers won't be playing until October 7th, so they got a Thursday game coming up that will interfere with our scheduling WFHR. But, of course, it will be right here at WFHR.
Mm-hmm.
The Badgers are going to be playing Rutgers. And I waited to the very end for this, but I wanted to start our show with this, especially because the Badgers' next opponent will be the Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
Yes.
The oldest of all the college football teams, by the way. Oh, oldest stadium.
That's right.
Oldest stadium.
Pocketstown.
Mm-hmm. Rutgers is third in time of possession in all of college football.
Oh, wow. Third of time. Okay.
They are 105th in yards per play. How? How do you do that? How do you have the ball that long and do nothing with it? Nothing. It's like the worst game of hot potato ever. It's like,
that's a good idea. It's
like, I don't even know. I can't wrap my brain around that. I'm not smart enough to understand how you could even pull that off.
They get 3 yards, first down, 3 yards, and then 4 yards, I guess. That's how they do it.
And then the other teams just must be like, yeah, you have it. You go right ahead. We're up 21-0. I mean,
yes, they're going to score anyway.
We're starting to feel bad. Which is like you're used to seeing that in college.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe I've ever seen that in the pros until this Sunday, where Mike McDaniels, one of the fun coaches in the NFL, mm-hmm. I enjoy him. I like him. Miami puts up 70. The Chicago Bears have the record as 73 points in an NFL game, destroying Washington.
That was a championship game, by the way.
Yeah. They have the opportunity to do this, to break this record, and they know it in real time.
Of course.
And in the moment, they're thinking, yeah, let's do it. And then at a certain point, Mike McDaniels, and he tells us in the press conference, that he felt like it was too much. And that it wasn't worth it, and they were running up the score, and he kind of took it back. And well, for one, a grown man in today's day and age admitting that he second-thought something and then had a change of heart. Thank you for that.
Especially in what he does, his job.
We need more of that in society. Right on. More power to you. But isn't that even worse than when they've broken the record? Like, not only are you the Walmart family running the Denver Broncos and paying Sean Payton draft picks and $20 million and all this that you gave up for Russell Wilson. Not only all that, but the other guy felt bad for you. You're paid professional. This isn't high school. This isn't college. He felt bad for you. Like, you know what, man? Like, enough's enough. Like, it's the Simpsons line of, stop it, he's already dead.
The NFL is the worst at this. Yeah. You have some success as a coach, and now you can do anything.
Yeah.
And it John Gruden.
Yeah. Oh, prime example.
Look at what's going on. Sean Payton is just demonstrating it for us in real time now. Yeah. Oh, Sean Payton will shit.
No.
They're looking the same. Maybe it wasn't the coach's fault last year.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Russell Wilson.
Yeah, but a tip of the hat to Mike McDaniel. I think that was a classy move.
That was classy. I agree. Because you had nothing to prove at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, it might have been nice to have the record, but who cares?
If you want a shirt, call up and tell me one of the stats that I gave you about Rutgers there. Or just tell me your opinion about it. Tell me if you know how they've done this.
They've got a cool mascot.
They do
Scarlet Knight is cool.
I'll take that. Yeah. That is a very, you got to give him that. I'll give him that. Thank you to the callers. Thank you to the listeners. We appreciate you, Seth. Thanks so much for being with us
today. Not a problem.
Keep it right here.